I want to talk to you today about 2 days. 2 days out of your entire life. 2 days. And if you got your Bibles, you'll find that we're going to go to Romans 3, 19 and 31 through 31. I could have went a dozen different places in the Bible and got verses for this, but I chose Romans. I want you to think about it for just a moment. Think about your life, and then I want you to pick 2 days out of your entire life. You can do whatever you want. You can pick two of your best days, two of your worst days, one of each. But I think everybody's got them, so it shouldn't be too hard for you to just kind of pick one out. The best days, they're pretty easy to remember. They stick in our memory a lot. It might be the day that you met your sweetheart. That could be your best day. I remember a day way back, when I was in high school. I was walking down the hall with my buddy, and I saw two girls coming towards us, and one of them struck my fancy, and I told Joe that day, I said, "That's the girl I'm going to marry." That was a great day. That was a happy day. I remember that one. I also remember 14th of March, 1964. That's the day that I stood before a pastor in Loma, Colorado, and I have married the very girl that we were talking about. And there she sits, almost 60 years later. Those are happy days. Best days of my life? Yeah, you bet. How about the worst days of your life? Well, sometimes they're pretty vivid too. I mean, it might be a time when we've lost a loved one, and that hurt to the quick. On a more humorous note, maybe it's a day you wrecked your favorite car. And boy, that stuck in your craw for a while too. But you know the things that are different about the bad things in our lives? You know what? They're all way back there somewhere now. We don't really remember them too much. Best and worst. I'm telling you, all men can tell you the best 2 days in their lives. Don't you remember that old saying, guys? The best 2 days in your life was when you bought your first boat, and the second day is when you sold it. Best 2 days in our lives. But let's narrow it down. Now, we talked about our best, and you could have your choice, but now I'm not going to let you have that choice. I want you to pick your best day, and I want you to pick your worst day. What was your worst day, and what was your best day? To give you kind of a hint, or not a hint, this is maybe it'll jog your memory. That's what I was going to say. I look around at everybody in here, and outside of the young man sitting right there, I think all of us are old enough to remember this thing called Y2K. Remember Y2K? Everybody remembers what it was all about too, don't you? You know that we were in the 1990s and year 2000 was coming and all the computers were going to crash and it was actually going to harbor in the end of the world. And I'm telling you, that was a bad and scary day. People did not know for a fact what was going to happen when it turned over. What happened? Really? Man, that's a surprise, because all Christians should have said, you know what? This is nuts. Let me tell you something. My Bible says that no one knows the time of my coming, not even the angels in heaven. If not the angels in heaven even know, then surely man has not been privy to something that we don't know about. So the one thing that all Christians should have been able to tell them is, I'll guarantee you one thing, he might come on the second day, but he's sure not coming on that one, because he said, you don't know. And you're trying to tell me, we know this is going to be the end of the world. Worst day. Could be worst day. I need everybody bow your heads in prayer, and we'll get into our message. Our most gracious love and heavenly Father, we just thank you so much once again for this beautiful day that you have set aside. Father, we thank you that we don't know. We thank you that we have to rely upon you and to believe what you have to say in your holy word. Father, as we go into this message this morning, I ask that you would give me wisdom and power to say the things that you have set aside for us to hear. Then I pray, my Father, that you would give them open hearts and open minds, that we receive it exactly in the way that you sent it, and it touches us to the quick. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we turn this service over to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I need for you to turn over in your Bibles to Romans, 3rd chapter, and we're going to read 19 through 31. Now, believe me, we're not going to focus heavily on these because it would just take too much time. But it does have key words that we need to look at as far as our worst days and our best days. 19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness comes from God, and it comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. That's really key. You better focus on that. To all who believe. There are no differences, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. You know, I told you, focus on your best and worst days. Would it surprise you if I sat here this morning and told you, I don't really know anything about your best and worst days and when they, the ones you've chosen anyway, when they occurred? What they are, doesn't matter. I'm here to tell you this morning, and this may surprise you. Did you realize that my best day and my worst day are also your best day and your worst day? They're the same. Now, I'm not telling you it's on the same date, just that they're the same thing. We experience them at a different time, but not what they are. You see, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt right now, your worst day in your whole life, and mine too, was the day that I found out I wasn't perfect. I found out one day that I was so lost, I couldn't even believe how lost I was. And there was no way out. You were doomed. We realized just how lost we were. You see, verse 19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world accountable to God. Before Jesus, what did man have to lean on? He had, remember Moses? Remember a little trip he made up that hill one day and come back down the hill that day with these rocks in his hands? What was that? The Ten Commandments. That's what they had. That's the law. And it tells us, thou shalt, thou shalt not. He said, the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world accountable to God. It makes us aware that everyone falls under the law for the sole purpose of showing us just how sinful we are. We are guilty. And it's not just us, because you remember in the Bible they were talking to the Jews, thought Jesus was their sole possession and he came to save them. Surely he did, because they are God's chosen people, right? But the Gentiles were brought into the picture and they said, no, Jesus belongs to us because he came to save us. You were already saved, so he came to save us. So it has to be for us. But the Bible says, no, I'm telling you, Everyone that falls under the law, which is Jews and Gentiles alike, fall under these. And that's why Jesus came. He said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill them. And he is the only one that possibly could. He's the only one that could fulfill them and live under them. Verse 20 says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Through the law, we become conscious of our sin. What is the law for, people? It is to make us aware of where we stand. And I'm here to tell you this morning, not one of you, and me included, can submit to the law and live under it. How many out of the 10 do you think that you get by that, yeah, I don't do that one. I'm pretty good on 5. That means 5 that you failed on. But let's say, are you really sure about those 5? Well, no, not really. I mean, I'm pretty sure about 3 maybe, and there's kind of iffy on those other 2. Well, wait a minute. No, there's another one. I can't do that one. So we're down to 1 or 2. But did you really do those either? You see, he lets us know that no one can live under them because he tells us in his word, I didn't write that scripture down, but I know that it's there. Believe me. It says that if you have failed in, it's in James, by the way, if you have failed in one, you failed them all. Because he doesn't measure it the way that we do. We think 75% is pretty good. He said, no, anything less than 100% is not good. So he says, no one can live under them. You're going to have something that will save you. So what he's telling you is we're living at that point in our worst days ever because we just found out we can't do it on our own. No one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Through the law, we become conscious of our sins. Galatians 3:24 said that the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. What is faith? Well, to put it bluntly, if he said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, he said it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not. It is true. It is. What is faith? If you turned over to Hebrews 11:1, I love that scripture. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. When he said hope for, being sure of what we hope for, we are so gullible, people. We think hope is the same kind of hope that we grew up with. We hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. We hope the snow will melt. We hope that I can find a $100 bill this afternoon. See, we hope pie in the sky type hope. It might happen and it probably won't. That kind of hope. But the hope he's talking about is absolute and sure. It is going to happen. So if Jesus and God said it, it's carved in stone, people, and it's going to be. So he said, we are to be justified by faith. In other words, the greatest day in our life just occurred because Jesus came down to live upon earth as a man and show us that only one man can ever live under the law. He's the only one that was sin free and the only one that can ever do it. He came, and there was a day right there when we were so lost. And that was a horrible day. And then the greatest day that ever happened in your life just occurred in a little manger in Bethlehem. Jesus was born. The Savior was here. Verse 21 says that we have been redeemed because it says, but a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. Oh, in the form of a tiny, tiny little baby. Righteousness has been made known, and he came for you, he came for me. You see, he sent us with a message when he came that day. He said, you don't have to remain lost. You don't have to remain lost because you have me. A righteousness has been made known to you on that day. Verse 22-23 said, we have faith because we know that our salvation stems around faith. It says it comes in faith, by faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to understand that, people. There are none on this earth that are without sin. We are all sinners. And without Jesus, we are totally lost, and we are hung up in our worst day of our lives, and you can't get out of it without him. 24 said, we have been freed. We are justified freely by his grace. We didn't deserve it. There's nothing you could do to deserve it. And yet God came into your life. It was given freely by his Father. His Father freely gave his grace, his Son, to hang upon that cross. And when he did, his Son showed his great mercy by not giving us what we did deserve. And he died upon that cross for us. Justified, to declare one not guilty, makes us as we ought to be in his sight. You see, we have been redeemed. We've been set at liberty by his scriptures. We've set at liberty after the payment of a ransom price. How many of you ladies let's say you went down to Target or Walmart around Christmas time, and you set aside a whole bunch of presents for your loved ones and everything, and they have that room back in the back where you go back there and you put it on what's called layaway? You know what that is? Everybody does. You know what layaway is. How did you get your presents out of there? Didn't you make monthly payments or whatever it was until one day you paid the price and you went in and you redeemed your presents? You see, that's what Jesus did for you. You were back there in that room. You couldn't get out because there was nobody paying the price. And you sure couldn't. And so there we sat until Jesus came. And he walked back there and he said, turn them loose. I paid the price. It's all paid. God applied the price that Jesus paid on Calvary to our account. And freely without any cause. We didn't deserve it. We received God's grace. Verse 25-26, we have been forgiven. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Do you realize that when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and they went to pierce his side to make sure that he was dead, they didn't have to, because he had bled out every drop of blood in him. You know, see, if I look out to you, if you guys feel like I do, I'm not even worth one drop of that blood, much less all of it. But Jesus said, "You're worth it. I'm going to make sure that you are redeemed, because I am going to drain out my body for you." Everyone here knows that over years, God's allowed me to write songs. And one of the songs that I have in the bunch, they're all his, but one of the songs is called "One Drop of Blood." And in that, I'm telling you that one drop would have really been sufficient, but he gave it all. One drop of blood. We are now righteous in his sight. We maintain that a man is justified by faith through observing the law. We can't do it by observing the law. It has to come from some other way, and we know now what it was. We have a new relationship with the law because we can look at it totally different now. The law was God's tool to show us just how far off a dead sinner we are. I like to pick up my Bible every once in a while and just read the Ten Commandments. See, man, you know, I think he could nail me with every one of them, because he tells us in his word that if I even think about it, I might as well have done it. Well, then how many of you have ever had a bad thought about someone that you know? You weren't going to go out there and get your pistol out and shoot them, but you might think, "Boy, if I had you for 5 minutes, I'd show you." But see, when we look at it that way, now how many of the 10 are you good in? Zero. I can't do this. We have a new relationship with the law. We look at it the same way that he put it out. It's to show me I need him so bad. I need him so bad. I have a brand new relationship with the Lord. He is mine and I am his. 1 John 3:1 says that the reason the world does not know us is that they did not know him. We live in a world where there's so many people out there that they don't recognize what we have. Even your friends, some of your friends, I'll bet you they've come up to you after you became a Christian and they said, "What's happened to you? You don't do the things you used to do. I mean, we used to go to the bars and have fun, and now you're an old stick in the mud. You don't like to do those things anymore." He said, "Yeah, isn't it wonderful? God is so good, because he made changes in me, and I like what he's done." I can tell you for a fact right now. You can check this one, because I went to school in Aztec. Everybody knows me. I was born and raised in Aztec. You can't go over to Aztec without somebody knowing who Charlie Martin is. And I'll bet you that 99% of them will all tell you, the ones that were in school with me, if you had told me that boy would be up there preaching God's word one day, I'd tell you, you're out of your mind, because he was the orneriest little snot that ever walked the earth. And I probably was. And God looked at me and says, you look like a challenge to me. I think I'm just going to change you. And there was that day, like we were talking about. Every one of us has had that day when he reached down and he touched your heart. And there was a change made in you sitting right there. And as soon as that pastor said, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, then my friends, I'm going to make that available to you right now. We're going to have an invitation, and I want you to come on down. And man, as soon as he said that, it's open the floodgates. Here we come. Because we want what Jesus has just offered. And he said, I gave my life for you. You're worth it. And I said, I'm not, but I'm coming. We're righteous now. It says, do we then nullify the law through this faith? No. Because we know that Jesus came down on this earth and he lived his entire life without breaking the law. He's the only man free of sin that ever lived. But because we accepted him and because we love him and because we want to follow him, I'm going to try my best to uphold the laws. Now, I'll grant you, we're going to do it time and again. We're still going to fail. But he said, my blood is sufficient for all your sins, past, present, and future. Yes, we're going to sin, but yes, he is going to walk over and pick you up, dust off your little dusty britches, and put you on a hiney and tell you, now try it again. Let's go again. And we're going to do this from now till the day we go home. But oh my gosh, people, when you get to heaven and you see him standing there and he says, come in, good and faithful servant. Oh, what a day that's going to be. So I want to close this morning with this. Have you ever had your worst day ever? Or are you still in it? Because if you're still in it, I can show you the way out. And you will never, ever experience your worst day again. You're going to experience your best day. Now, I've told you that we've experienced our best day because we're in our best days, because we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and I hope that that applies to each and every one of you here this morning. But let me give you the really good news. Did you realize there's a better day coming? Better than this. Better than knowing that one day he's going to come again. Better than that. You know what it is? The day when we look up and the eastern sky split wide open and he is coming with his host of heavenly angels to what? Claim his own. How do I know that? Because John says so in John 14, and really just verse 2 and 3 says, I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And what else? And take you with me, that where I am, there you may be also. How can you beat that day? That is your absolute best day ever. The day our Savior comes for his own. Worst day, best day. Let me ask you, because if you're having a bad day and you just want to come up and talk or pray, again, as long as you have me, which I don't know how long that will be, but or when it will be, because I'm part-time now, pastor, but any church you ever see me in, when I come up here, it's for one reason, one only. It's to invite you to make it right with God. If you need to come and pray by yourself, to pray with me, to just join the church, whatever your decision is. But he does tell us this, that we need to come forward and make it public. That's in his word. Don't say the pastor said. No, Jesus said. So we're going to have a moment of invitation. Not long, but I'll leave it open for a while for you guys. And I really pray that God has touched your heart somehow by this message to know that you have the same 2 days that I have and had. The worst and the best.